just don't want you to think because I work at a church that now I'm going to talk to you about,
you can't drink,
you know,
wine. From
right. Now you can't drink wine. Yeah. You can't say damn. Like, yeah. You can't. I mean, you
that
can't.
That will be bleeped, to be clear.
Right.
You can't say damn.
Well, they'll
never hear that.
IKR, I Know Right, is a podcast about women for women. This season, hosts Allie and Latasha, along with special guests, are on the lookout for the good life, a life that sometimes seems elusive, one of beauty, joy, creativity, and fun.
We have a hunch it might involve learning to think about life as a work of art and finding our place, not as the artist, but as the canvas. It's getting real. IKR, Real Conversations with Real Women. Let's go.
So today we're going to talk about neighbors, because quite honestly, women are alone. And as isolated as we may be, it's funny that there are people all around us who are also alone and want to have a relationship. As we continue to think about life as art, neighboring is something that will bring beauty and richness to your life. Take it from Allie and I. Honestly, we've stumbled across great neighbors, and I would say not because we're so special. As a matter of fact, once you meet Allie's neighbor, Melissa, and my neighbor, Cindy, you will want to take a chance on neighbors. This is the art of neighboring.
We're here with our neighbors today.
Yes.
Hey, Latasha, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Allie?
Good. I want you to meet my neighbor. This is Melissa Munchen.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, nice
and Melissa
to meet you.
Melissa is my sweetest neighbor.
You're kidding.
She is my most wonderful friend and neighbor, and I'm excited to have her here today.
Well, that's a hard act to follow, but I also have my sweetest neighbor here. I didn't know that we were going to have superlatives, but now that we do, yeah. I want you all to meet my sweetest neighbor, Cindy Thomas.
Good morning.
How are you, girl?
I'm good.
You're looking good.
Thanks,
I like
you?
Your hair and your dress. Looking good, girl. We actually all look quite lovely. Where's the camera when you need it?
I know, considering that we're
seriously.
Right? Yeah, that's right.
Oh, gosh.
So we're here today, and we're talking about neighboring, and this is just a realm of life that I believe, honestly, is dying in our culture, mostly because we can just do without it, as we are proving as a nation, right? Mm-hmm. We can get what we need and go about our lives and really not engage our neighbors. But today we're talking about the uniqueness of the relationships that actually can happen with people who are just close in proximity to you and how unique that realm of relationship is. Do you want to start? You guys want to tell us a little bit about your neighbor relationship?
I do. Yes, I do. So I've lived in the area for now 16 years. Before that, I lived way, way, way in the suburbs. And we had a garage. And my daughter didn't go to the neighborhood school. She went to a private school. And so when we got home, we would open up the garage. We would drive into the garage. We would shut our garage. And we would go into the house and do the thing. Our houses were pretty new. And so there were no porches. There was no connection. So when I moved, I knew that I was going to be close to my job. I knew that I was going to be close to my daughter's school. And I wanted lots of proximity. I wanted people to have access to me, and I'm an introvert. And our houses in this neighborhood are old. They're like 100 years old.
100 years old, probably.
About 100 years old, completely renovated. And they all have porches on the front. And we would see people hanging out.
Absolutely.
All the time.
All the time, yes. Whether we wanted to see them or not,
that's
but
right.
There's always people outside.
There are always people outside. Yes. So when I moved in, somebody had dropped a little box of cookies on my doorstep with their name and their phone number. And I was like, this is what I've seen in the movies.
It makes you feel amazing.
Yes, it never happened to me. So I started actually waiting for new houses to be renovated and families to move in. And I would go and do the same thing. And so I went to Finley Market and I got these really yummy cookies and a little magnet
with a
plant.
With a plant in it. Yep.
Is your plant dead?
It is.
Yeah. Mine is too.
It is dead. But yeah, insert Latasha into my life. Similar story, just, you know, I had lived in different areas in the city. Once we decided to finally purchase a home, I wanted to live in like a community and I wanted to know my neighbors. That was like the number one thing.
Why? Why did you have a desire to really know your neighbors?
I was just desperate for feeling connected, feeling engaged. I knew my kids were going to grow up there. I needed to have that like foundation. I needed to have something more concrete, and I just wanted to know the people around me.
You really wanted to just be known.
I did. Okay. I did.
And Cindy knows every name of every name. Because I'm like, you know, the people who live in the house with the thing. And she's like, oh, that's Tom and Jessica. I'm like, I don't know their name.
That's right. Oh, Melissa's one who knows every child. Oh. Every child in the neighborhood.
Every child.
Yes.
Even the worst.
I feel like I am a mother to about 9 on some days.
Wow.
And it's amazing. It really is amazing.
Now, do you guys live, how many doors, streets?
We live probably 5 houses apart.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so we can't see one another's houses. But our kids have recently taken care of that with walkie-talkies that actually do reach each other's houses.
I love it.
It's a blessing and a curse, those walkie-talkies. Oh, my goodness.
And she would probably blush to say this, but I will say this. Melissa is really the source of a feeling of hospitality and community on our street.
Thank you.
That's why all the kids want to be there. That's why she mothers all the children, 8 or 9 kids every day.
I've thought about not being so hospitable.
It gets expensive, doesn't it, Melissa? How many Costco runs do you make?
Oh, actually, we don't have a membership. Right. It's not close enough to my house. But no, it's joyous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's comforting and it's wonderful to have people there when I need them.
Yeah.
We took the same class at a local gym one day and did not know Melissa. And I happened to be talking to the instructor of the class about our move. And she asked me, where are you moving? And I answered her and Melissa heard me and she said, that's my street.
Yeah.
And so
I jumped on that treadmill next to her and I said, you have to move on my street.
And so her husband works for Gallo Wines. So instead of cookies, I got a bottle of wine. So that's how we got to know each other. I loved knowing there was someone on the street that I at least could talk to when we first moved in. And it turns out it was the one that everybody wanted to talk to. And her house is very easy to be in. And so it's really provided this sense of community on our street.
It's just amazing the feeling that you can roll into your neighborhood, wave to people you now know, feel safe, feel you can knock on their door if there's something that you need. It's just establishing those relationships. It's just been amazing. Whether you want to or not, you know, these are the people that you live with.
That's right.
Day in and day out. And it's been more helpful than anything else I've experienced.
That's what I was going to ask you guys is, what if your neighbors suck? Like, I'm sure you have some that you don't particularly
like. Are my neighbors going to be listening to this?
Yeah, I know, right?
Because we won't talk about it. I'm going to be really careful with my words.
Our neighbors might not.
That's true.
Different demographic.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, it sounds like we are motivated to know our neighbors for some interesting reasons that most people might not think about. Like, just the sense of community, the type of environment that you want to live in. What happens when somebody moves in that you don't really like? What then? Do you still reach out?
I don't know. How do we even start this one?
Cindy, you're an expert on sucky neighbors.
Well, yeah. So I feel like it, you know, it could go one way or another. There's neighbors that live directly next to me. They have their thing. You know, some of them you can approach, some of them you can't. They tend to be those neighbors that like stick in their house. They don't really do their part as far as like cleaning up and you know, doing things like that.
And we used to go walking and you would bring a bag.
Yes.
And do you still do that? Because we don't walk hardly. We don't walk a lot anymore.
Every week I go through my neighborhood and I pick up trash.
Yeah.
All the time. And I've had people ask me, like, why are you doing this? I'm like, well, I invested hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right, it's my house.
I thought you were going to say clean up after their animals.
No.
I was like, wow,
you are
a good neighbor.
No, but, you know, I try to just do my part. I just think if everybody does their part, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, this is, like, I invested, and I want to keep our city.
We live here.
Yeah, we live here.
About this,
I think that's really interesting. I've talked to some women about this topic and just kind of said, well, it's weird. It feels weird to try to engage my neighbors because people just don't do that. I understand that can feel weird, like just approaching brand new relationships that seem taskless. There's nothing that you need to do with your neighbors. It's a quote unquote pointless relationship. So it can feel a little bit odd to just push into it a little bit. However, one way that always breaks people's defenses down is to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's amazing that all you're doing is looking around at a simple thing in your neighborhood and doing it. I believe that serving people always breaks down barriers, mm-hmm. even if they don't Absolutely. Want it, even if they try to push it away. When you walk their trash can up the driveway every freaking week, That's sooner right. or later, they're going to say thank you and engage
Acknowledge.
You. Like there's just a persistence, I think, that we have to have if we want to enter this realm of relationship, because it does seem a little pointless, but it's totally not. Pointless.
It's so worth it.
Sure.
It brings a level of richness to our immediate environment that is really hard to put your finger on. Yeah. It's something that, can you live without it? Absolutely. But do you feel more known and loved and comfortable in your life and in your own skin when you know who you're living with?
Sure.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean,
without a doubt.
And the benefits you get and you gain from these people. You
like
know,
what?
The benefit, what you gain is, of course, relationships, friendships. You gain that sense of community.
I think safety.
I think, yes.
Well, safety was
sure.
a big thing.
Yes. I have a 16-year-old, and she babysits the Thomas sons from time to time and the daughter. But Cindy's house has become a safe place for me mm-hmm. and for Maya. So she knows that if something happens, and she has used it, she yes. comes and knocks on the door at the Thomas house and yep. somebody is there to greet her.
Yep. It's a great example.
And to give her advice and to mother her. I mean, it's like that old school sense of yep. yes. community where she will get hugged and she yep. might even Aww. Get spanked if she, I mean, like really, you know, I mean, she may get disciplined if she's yeah. done something wrong.
Cindy and Melissa, teach us how to be good neighbors. Like, what are some top things? Because obviously you all are good neighbors. That's why when we moved onto the streets mm-hmm. we live on, Latasha and I, we found you all. Right. So you've been good neighbors. What are some of the really practical things? We've probably mentioned a few of them, but just if you could tell people, teach people, what do you do? Because I know most people out there are not good neighbors, but they might want to be right. if they knew how to do it better. So give us like a neighboring for dummies. How
well,
do we start?
The first thing I think about is just doing selfless acts. I mean, don't do anything that you expect something in return. Mm. So if you just feel good about doing something for your neighbor, mowing their lawn, offering to pick up their children from school if they're in a pinch from work, just anything that you feel that is just selfless, meaning that you don't really expect anything in return, I think that's a good start.
I think you took the words out of my mouth because I was really going to say, you know, that same thing. It is being selfless.
What's the thing you've received from Cindy as a neighbor that's been important to you in developing a good neighbor relationship?
We probably moved, I don't know, closer from the friend to like family thing. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I was just
neat.
Thinking that.
That is neat.
One of her sisters was in town recently, and she said, I have to introduce you to my sister. We have to come over right now. I was laying in bed because it was past my bedtime. What time do I go to bed, Cindy?
Early.
Early.
She called me. Sun's still up in the summertime.
I know.
She called me, and it was past that time, and she's like, oh my gosh, my sister's here. And I hopped out of bed and came downstairs mm-hmm. and just hung out for like mm-hmm. an hour or so, mm-hmm. just because.
That's love.
My neighbor
you.
Wants, that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. My neighbor yes. wanted to enter. What an honor. So, I mean, I extended myself, and that's difficult, right? Because no
sure.
one wants to be rejected. Mm-hmm. I have put cookies on people's doorsteps, and they have not called me back, mm-hmm. which is okay. But she called back. So mm-hmm. even just the phone call back was mm-hmm. quite sweet.
I was thinking the thing that Melissa did for me, which she does effortlessly. She probably doesn't even know that she does this. But it's so important because nobody wants to feel rejected. Nobody wants to put themselves out there and not be received. And I was like, you guys, I would like neighbor relationships, but Melissa always communicated to me that I was welcome. Mm-hmm. Like, not just once, multiple times. Sometimes multiple times on the same day. Like, you know, just because my kids will go down there a bunch
oh, sure.
or I'll turn up there looking for somebody again. And toward the beginning, now I will just walk in the front door and go, I'm here.
Yes.
It was so important to me
yeah.
as somebody who would fear rejection
yep.
a little bit.
For sure.
To have someone communicate to me, you're welcome. I meant that you're welcome. You're still welcome.
That's right.
You're welcome again.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome for wine. You're welcome for breakfast. Like, you're welcome mm-hmm. any old time.
Anytime.
And I know that sounds so silly that I need that many times, but I need that many times.
To get it.
Yes.
You need to hear it and get it.
I need
yeah.
to hear more than once. If you're going to only put it out there once, I might believe you then, and then I won't believe you again.
Hmm.
I'll think
yeah.
you're just being nice. You were just
right.
being nice that one time.
Yeah. But you want to build that comfort level. I
right.
want you to
yes.
be comfortable. I want you to be comfortable walking in my front door when
yes.
your children are there playing.
Yeah.
and just say, hey, I'm here. I needed this. Or can I see my children?
Right. But now I want to be with Melissa because she's done that so much that I have gone like, this is a person I want to know. And that's how my life has ended up being blessed and enriched because of neighboring. Because now there are people on the street. Melissa's my A number one example that I just want them in my life. Yep. I don't need their eggs or their place to play for my kids.
Right.
I mean, I want those too. I need to borrow your eggs a lot.
At a time of need, eggs are important.
Yeah. But that's right. Now I just want you in my life.
Right.
And so it's somewhere along the line you make that transition with one or two neighbors, and man, your whole life feels different because of it.
Yeah.
And that's a really special thing that unless we try to neighbor, you will never have that. And especially with people you didn't pick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't pick Melissa. Sure. She was just there. And sometimes you end up being friends with people you would never have otherwise suspected. Yeah. And the importance of, like, having different types of friends that mean different things in your life, it's just a realm of relationship that I can't duplicate. I might have other women I like as much as I like Melissa, but I don't have them five doors away.
That's right.
And I don't have access to them in the same way. And so it's a really special thing, I think.
Now the risk is, I'm thinking about people coming into our homes and just showing up. Mm-hmm. And from time to time, Melissa, you may not know this about me, I have a dog.
Okay.
And I have a child. And sometimes I forget to wash the dishes. And so people.
And that's okay.
Is it? Are you sure?
It is okay.
Is it okay, Cindy?
It is okay.
Okay. Because.
It is okay.
Is it okay for our lives not to be completely clean? Because I feel like Cindy has seen me when my life was not 100% clean.
What do you mean? Like, you get mad at Maya?
That's right.
And you have a minute while she's there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Or Maya goes to her and says, guess what my mom just did? Which has happened also.
Oh,
both of those things have happened. And so, I mean, there are times where I am at my most embarrassed and here my neighbor friend is sitting here drinking wine.
But you just have to be supportive. So, you know, in those situations, you know, I don't necessarily like want to parent her and tell her what to do. I don't try to take sides with, you know, Latasha or take sides with her daughter. I just try to be a listener and try to be supportive and try to bring them back together if there's anything going on, you know.
Sure.
Just try to be supportive and make sure that they feel comfortable in your own home and it's a safe space.
I have another question for you ladies. I am less hospitable. You That's neighboring good. Experts, as somebody who wants to neighbor well but is just less hospitable, I don't not want you in my house. It's just not in me to like invite you over all the time, but I want you to come over. I want you to feel welcome. I'm just not as good at making it happen. Help me, like, what's a couple things I could do that are easier? Maybe.
Well, I don't know if this is hitting the target though, but I was talking to another neighbor. You know, we want to connect with some more of the new neighbors because they're building these houses and they're renovating them like every 4 or 5 months. So we're just getting new neighbors all the time and it's hard to keep up. So what we're going to do, you don't know this yet, but
I'm finding out real time right now. Let's see my face. What you're about to do.
But we're going to do one of those progressive dinners. Have you ever heard of those?
I've never done one though, but I've heard of them.
That would be fun.
It's happening September.
And you are signed up for the appetizer.
Right.
Yeah. And your house. They're going to need your house.
Right. So we're just. Right. Right. So we're going to do a trial run with just a couple of them, like the ones that we kind of know. But then we want to try to do that on a regular basis just to kind of get, because there's so many people that have moved in. Mm-hmm. And we just thought, let's try a progressive dinner. So that might be a good approach just to say, okay, I mean, I don't want 50 people in my house at one time, but you know, maybe you start small and try to find those that might want to do it. And it's not at your house the entire night.
Right.
It's like, okay, we're here for 30 minutes. I'm going to do the drink. So let me find a fun drink on Pinterest or whatever.
Lower bar. That feels like a good suggestion.
But you're not doing the whole night.
You're not doing the whole night.
I could do that.
I think of others when I am at the grocery store. You know what? Little Ford across the street, he loves fruit snacks. I'm going to pick up an extra box of fruit snacks because when he's over, that just makes him happy. And so I think about those things, certain drinks. My kids like to have cook-offs and bake-offs. I want to make sure that I have a lot of that on hand. I am one that I have a freezer outside that's stocked with appetizers because I just know what's going to happen is my husband is going to say,
that's good.
Such and such is coming home on his way from work. we're going to play some ping pong and, you know, have a beer. And of course, I can't do ping pong and a beer without having some sort of snack.
Right.
You know, so that's I just don't genius. Put the apron on.
Mm-hmm. It is. Genius. That's genius.
It is.
So it's things like that. But I think it's back to head up, thinking of others, thinking of what others like. Mm-hmm. You know, when I go to someone's house or, you know, if they thought about me having the special drink that I like, mm-hmm. yes. that's really thoughtful. And that makes me feel very comfortable in their home.
How would this look if the tables were turned? Would I feel welcomed? Would I feel connected? So I always try to think of it in that respect. So I want to do something that's for somebody awesome. As maybe like I would want done for me. Not that I expect it, not that I think you right. should, but that I think that helps my approach mm-hmm. to it. Just understanding like I want somebody to feel connected and feel warm because that's kind of how I think I would want to feel as well.
Cindy, you've used language twice that's made me think of this. No, good, in a wonderful way. You've said several times, I just think about what they would want, and mm-hmm. I try to think about the other person. Melissa said she tries to go to the grocery store and think mm-hmm. about other people mm-hmm. and what makes them feel welcome and feel good. And over in your language of how to be a good neighbor, it turns out, is really quite biblical.
That's right.
Because Jesus sure. says all of what God expects from us is to love God first and love our neighbor as ourself.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. What if that was true?
Yeah, right. That's right.
Because it is.
Yep.
But also, what if that's true? Yep. Like, that's utterly incredible that everything yep. in the Bible and that God would consider his holiness yep. mm-hmm. would be love me first and love your neighbor just like yourself. Yep. Mm-hmm. You guys, that's so simple.
I mean, love you.
This makes me really want to love more neighbors.
I know. It's not easy. Sure. It's not easy, but it's simple.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
you guys are
it
so.
It can be. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You
we
guys are so.
Difficult.
You're inspiring me yeah. to just simply to neighbor is to think, what would I want? I have a challenge related to what we've been talking about to suggest. Jesus tells a story in the book of Luke, chapter 10. And at the end, he actually defines neighbor. So he says to the people he's telling the story to, he says, which of these three, the three people in the story, do you think was a neighbor? And the answer is the one who showed mercy. And so my challenge is, how could you show mercy to a neighbor? What does that mean?
Yes. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, to me, it means to serve them. If you read that story, it's about seeing a need mm-hmm. and meeting it.
Okay.
Showing mercy is meeting a need that you see, right?
Sure.
Before they ask, if they never ask, even if they never thank mm-hmm. you or acknowledge you in any way. Mm-hmm. Could you do that?
Oh, absolutely. I could.
You're looking at me. You're not convinced. Natasha thinks I'm crackers.
I saw a neighbor out the other day. It's hot as could be. She's picking weeds. Mm-hmm. My kids are outside playing. I'm not really doing much. I could have gone over there and helped her. Mm-hmm. Absolutely could have gone and just said, hey, let me do this with you for 15 minutes. There's so many little things that you could possibly think of just as you're driving by that, yes, you could probably stop your car or
yep.
go on a walk and figure out what you could do to help okay. that neighbor.
Does it have, I have to qualify.
Yes.
Okay. Does it have to be someone I don't know?
No.
Oh, it could okay. be somebody that yeah. I do know. All right.
Yeah. I think for me, the key is the practice at seeing others
yep.
and
that's
meeting right. those needs. Yep. I mean, to me, it doesn't matter who it is. It's almost like I'm training myself. Mm-hmm. I'm training myself to look at others the way I would want to be looked at
yep.
and to try to step into their existence. Mm-hmm. And meet them in it.
That's great.
In some way.
Because you might not know this, but they may want to engage with mm-hmm. you
yes.
and don't know how to mm-hmm. do it.
And so are fearful.
Fearful, and you might just have to find that.
They're me. They yeah. need you to yeah. tell them 10 times so they're welcome.
Somebody's got to break
yeah.
the ice.
Vulnerable.
Like, right. Yeah. So you never know. They might be really, really wanting to connect with you, but didn't know how to.
So this week's challenge is to serve a neighbor and expect nothing in return. Latasha, Melissa, Cindy, and I will all be posting our challenge on Instagram, and we're there at IKR Podcast. So reach out to us there, use the hashtag IKR, or email us at ikr@crossroads.net. Basically, you can reach us anywhere. IKR is a production of Crossroads Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Special thanks for our music to May Klingler. You can find more from May at mayklingler.com and on Spotify and iTunes. You won't be sorry you did.